This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Inna alhamdulillah. Nahmaduhu wa nasta'inu. Wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وله الحكم وله الأمر يحيي ويميت وهو حي دائم لا يموت وهو على كل شيء قدير ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الحديث حدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أيها الإخوة الكرام وأخوات السيدات السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Dear brothers and sisters
or doesn't clarify their statements or their answers to the new Muslims
in Islam before beginning the theme of the today's khutbah. I would like to remind the Muslims of the etiquette of the Jum'ah. Because, you know, every place has its own etiquette. And sometimes we Muslims, because of our disposition, because of our social position, because of our mentality or our habits, sometimes we are doing the wrong etiquette in the wrong place. And one day the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he entered his masjid and he saw some people, they were sitting in separate places. You know what, this is what people do. They look for the most comfortable place and they just, that's where they sit. And so these people, they were not arguing. They were not having any differences. But the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did not like them to be sitting in separate places. So he said, why do you not draw yourselves up in rows as the malaika draw themselves up in front of the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Oh, كَمَا قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ. So I'm suggesting to the young people especially, if you don't have a sickness or some reason to be sitting to the back or to the side, you should join the ranks, because the ranks is where the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us an ayah that is usually associated with gatherings.
In the Quran, in the chapter titled An-Nahl, the bee, the 43rd verse.
A'udhu billahi sami al-alim min ash-shaytani ar-rajim, bismillah ar-rahman ar-rahim. Ya ayyuha al-lazina amanu taqullah haqqa tuqatihi wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. O you who believe, fear Allah, be mindful of Allah, with the haqq, which is his exclusive right. And do not die.
The people of the remembrance, if we don't know. So, if there's something we don't know, Allah's
another ayah of the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullah wal tanzur. نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدْ وَتَقُوا اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ أُولَئِكَ هُمُ fasikun. The ayah continues, لا يستوي أصحاب النار وأصحاب الجنة أصحاب الجنة هم الفائزون. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls us again to taqwa. Taqwa. Consciousness. Discipline. Fear. Apprehension. Attention. Like someone who comes to the edge of a mountain and looks down and sees maybe that the fall is like 2,000 feet. This is taqwa. وَالْتَنْظُرْ Look, be mindful. Develop your vision towards what you send forward for yourselves on tomorrow. And here tomorrow is not the next day. Tomorrow means your extended future. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ And he mentions again, fear Allah, be mindful of Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ Because Allah, He is خَبِير. He is aware of the most subtle things in your life, what you do. And do not be like those people who forgot about Allah. So Allah, He caused them to forget about their own welfare. Now here, forgetting about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't mean that they forgot the attributes of Allah. They forgot what the meaning of La ilaha illallah. They forgot that Allah is on His throne. They forgot this, not what the ayah means. They forgot. They became negligent in the establishment of the Sharia of Allah. They became negligent in establishing in their lives what Allah has ordered them to do. As a result of their becoming negligent of establishing in their lives what Allah has ordered them to do, Allah made them like nothing. Allah caused them to lose their value. Allah, He caused them to lose their way. Allah, He caused them to lose their own identity. When you lose your own identity, when you lose your own way, when you lose your own value, then your enemies and others, they see you as trash and worthless. فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ And in addition to that, Allah, He labels those people as فَاسِقُونَ. And then He goes another direction. لا يستوي أصحاب النار وأصحاب الجنة That the people of the Nar, they are not like the people of the Jannah. This is like obvious what they're doing. And the evidence of what they're doing is evident. They are planting seeds, and those seeds, they are bearing fruit. But it is the da'wah of rhetoric. It is the da'wah of writing. It is the da'wah of dialogue. It's an easy da'wah. You just get the ayats, you get the relevant ahadiths, you memorize them. If you have good personality, you are able to interact with people, you start engaging in what is called da'wah. This is very easy. So today, that means people are accepting, embracing Islam, Muslims are becoming stronger, and also they are also bringing about people who are allies towards Islam. And this is good. However, this is not the object of da'wah, just to talk and for people to come forward and to embrace Islam. This is not the object. The object of da'wah is that we produce fruits that are distributed and they add value to the life, to the civilization. This is the object of da'wah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gave a description to the believers. He says, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرًا ummatan ukhrija
to us from Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Quran. The advice of his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which we find in the authentic
linnas. Ta'maluna bil ma'ruf wa tanhauna 'anil munkar wa tu'minuna billah. So now here we have a description of the objective of the da'wah. Allah, he has said to us, kuntum, you are khayra, you are the people of khayr, an ummah extracted out of mankind, an ummah extracted out of mankind. To do what? To bring khayr. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he now describes the khayr. The khayr is not talking. The khayr is not rhetoric. The khayr is not studying. The khayr is not praying. The khayr is not fasting. The khayr here is not hajj. All those things is a form of ibadah and obviously a form of khayr. But in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives very clear definition to the khayr. The khayr is establishing a platform, creating a mechanism inside of the society where we live, where we are able to ta'maruna bil ma'roof wa tanhauna 'alal munkar, and this is the evidence of tu'minuna billah. So ta'maruna bil ma'ruf means to install the component of amr. Amr is the ability to command. You cannot do amr bil ma'ruf if you're not in a position of leverage, if you don't have influence, if you're not in a position of commanding. Amr bil ma'ruf means that you have to develop, you have to strive to be in a position where you
general members of the community, and they are people who are reliable and ethical and responsible among the community, and they also have
do evil or corruption, you can create a barrier to prevent them. Not just to say it's wrong, but to create a barrier to prevent. Like in the English language, it is called a deterrent. Being able to establish the amr and the barrier to prevent, this is the characteristic of wa tu'minuna billah. And because you have entered a contract and a manner with Allah. In another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلْتَكُنْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيَعْمَرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَلَى الْمُنْكَرِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. See, the ayah is very similar, but it begins by saying, وَلْتَكُنْ, you have been set up as an ummah inviting towards khayr. He again invites by doing that. The most important challenge and priority for Muslims and their cultural distinctions. I want to just repeat that. Because sectarian differences.
Two sources. However, in Islam, we do not have a priesthood. Let's make that point clear.
It's inescapable. It's nobody's fault. To belong to various persuasions or groups or schools or ideas.
Quran and the Sunnah and those who are the most accessible and what they have documented. That is true.
Ethnic group is a part of the Qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which he mentions lita'arafu. Cultural distinctions, how we feel, what we eat, what we wear, how we speak, our languages and things of that nature. Again, this is qadr. But the object is that with your knowledge and with your iman, you must rise above that towards what? Towards unity. Collective action. This is the object of Islam. This is the challenge in front of us. There is no greater social value and no greater social mandate than for the leaders and the teachers of the Muslims to extend their hands to other leaders and teachers. So by example, those leaders and those teachers, they lead and teach by example. They don't lead and teach by the text. The text itself, you're not leading and teaching by the text. You're leading and teaching by example. And when they establish this kind of...
to follow or consult a certain circle of scholars or their students, we don't have any compulsion.
The Muslims, wherever they are, they can begin to acclimate themselves to this global rank and file leadership. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, our community, the Ummah that we are a part of, should be known for their service and their benefit to the greater community of humanity. And not simply be satisfied that we have built a masjid, that we have built a school, that we have built some kind of edifice that is sort of something that is visible that people can associate with Islam. Today, Muslims seem to be quite satisfied.
There are scholars, students of knowledge, and people of social responsibility who are local and accessible to us.
One day, one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asked him a question. He said, "O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, can you tell me something about Islam which I cannot hope to ask anybody other than you?" You know, this is a very powerful way of asking a question, because this person did not take it for granted that he may be able to ask this question again. So since he was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asked him a question that was burning in his mind. And he prefaced it by saying, "I could not hope to ask anybody other than you." See what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam answered him. He said, "Kul amantu billah thumma istaqim." Subhanallah. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had ways of saying something, like he took a few words and made it like very profound. This is called Jawami al-Kalam. A way of saying something very profound and very prolific, but using just a few words. He said, "Kul, say, amantu billah, say I believe in Allah." And here, amantu billah, it means those ayats that we recited previously. Kul amantu billah, meaning those ayats that we recited previously. Thumma istaqim, then be upon that, then stand upon that, then establish that in your life. So we Muslims, we have to say, amantu billah, we believe in Allah. But we also have to follow it up with doing what? Establishing these principles in our personal life. Establishing these principles in our home. Establishing these principles among our family. Establishing these principles in our neighborhood. Establishing these principles in our area where we live. In our state, in our society, in our country. Because istiqamah is the objective of Islam. And istiqamah, it doesn't mean to call the adhan. It doesn't mean just to stand for the prayer. Istiqamah, it means that in the place where you are, where you are announcing and representing Islam, dear brothers and sisters in Islam, I have been to literally hundreds of conferences where thousands of scholars have attended and students of knowledge. And in those conferences, they are talking about wonderful topics, beautiful topics, and they are selling beautiful books. No one can doubt that they are engaged in some form of Islamic activity. I want to recite an ayah of the Quran to us today, so we can take it beyond those beautiful, which is the 28th surah and the 77th verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi samin alim. وَلَا تَبَغِي الْفَسَادَ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُفْسِدِينَ Subhanallah. أَتَاكُ اللَّهُ الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةِ وَلَا تَنْسَى نَصِيبُكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَأَحْسَنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions and reminds us, so seek to obtain the Darul Akhirah. What is the provisions of the Darul Akhirah? This is all the ibadah that we do, seeking to obtain the Darul Akhirah, the hereafter. But then he reminds us, وَلَا تَنْسَى, but do not forget نَصِيبُكَ. Do not forget your nasib. What is your nasib? Your share of the dunya. And what is your share of the dunya? It doesn't mean your piece of the pie. Your share of the dunya here implies your share of social responsibility. You cannot allow the society just to move. You cannot allow the place where you are living at just to exist, and you're just there seeking your out. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Wa ahsan kama ahsan Allahu ilayk. Subhanallah. You know, Allah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Wa ahsan kama ahsan Allahu ilayk. Subhanallah. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He's describing the Anbiya, you know, when you read the Qasas al Anbiya, always Allah is describing them as muhsineen. Muhsineen. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Wa ahsan kama ahsan Allahu ilayk. So here, ahsan, it means that you should adopt the social responsibility like the Anbiya who were muhsineen, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He also, wa ahsana Allahu ilayk, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gave to you. Wa la tabghi, and do not subvert, and do not commit fasad fil ard. Inna Allaha la yuhibbul Mufsideen. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave us two different ahadiths I like to relate to this talk about social responsibility. He says, "Al-mu'min kal-mu'min, al-mu'min lil-mu'min kal-bunyan." That the believer to another believer is like the parts of a building, and then he put his fingers together like that. Yushidhu ba'dhu ba'dha. So, a believer to another believer is that we are components, we are complementary components of a building. You know, we're not just the bricks, but we are the bricks that is cemented together with the mortar. Like when the masjid is only the exercise, but the exercise is for us to do it outside of the masjid. Then the Prophet ﷺ, he said to us another hadith. Al-mu'minu qawi khayrun wa ahabbu ila Allah min al-mu'min al-da'if. That the strong, influential, resourceful believer is better and more beloved than the weak one. The Prophet ﷺ also said, yadul ula khayrun min yadul sufla, that the upper hand is better than the lower hand. We said all of this to remind ourselves of the objective of Islam, to improve our behavior and to improve our response to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we all be mindful, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we ourselves, including the one who is speaking, that we take the medicine that we give to others, that we take the medicine ourselves. Wa aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullaha li wa lakum. Ya Allahu ghafur rahim. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salatu wa salam. I want to take this last 2 or 3 minutes to talk especially to the young Muslims. You have drank from your fathers. You have taken from your teachers. You have complied with the rules of the society. You have finished high school and you have completed your college and you have graduated from the university. And I congratulate you upon that. And now you are seeking to get some benefit, to get married, and that's what you should do. But I ask you a question. How many of you, and this is a rhetorical question because in Jumu'ah there's no responses. It's a rhetorical question, but it's a meaningful question. And you should go home and ask yourself the question again. How many of you, whether you have an undergrad, a graduate degree, you have a PhD, DD, how many of you, one that you wrote by your own hand, one that after you wrote it, you spell checked it, you typed it, you spell checked it, you double spaced it, you typed it out, you gave it to your mom or dad or your mentor or your teacher or the sheikh in the mosque or somebody that you respect, and you asked them to please read it and advise you, and after they gave it back to you, you amended it, and then after that, you kept it with you like a folded sheet of paper until you memorized it. Because if you've memorized it, that becomes your life plan, in addition to your education. Now, if you haven't done it, then you will be one of the people that will be in a room one day, and you might find out that you are the only one in that room that did not complete a life plan. Or you may find yourself in another room one day, want to be. If you have a life plan, it will add value to your career trajectory. To your career trajectory. You will not realize how valuable a life plan is until you do it. And if you decide that you don't need it, then you're like a person who's in a race and everyone else has shoes and you're barefooted. And you think because you're fast and you're athletic and you are well-developed, you think that you have a chance to win. Chances are you cannot win barefooted in that kind of a race. You need to be properly equipped. In the world that we live in today, this technological world, this competitive world, this industrial geared world that we live in, we just don't want to be sincere Muslims, we want to be productive Muslims. And I am challenging you and I'm advising you. For the fathers, it's not too late for you, even for yourselves, to do a life plan, because you're never too old to plant a tree. You're never too old to do something that you should have done. At least you should advise your sons and daughters to do a life plan. And if you don't know what it is, there are people who can give you the template to do it. And I advise that you do that as a matter of adding value to your career. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا وأنت خير الراحمين. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. يا الله غفور رحيم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. وذكر الله تعالى وأعلى وأولى وعز وجل وتم وحم وأكبر وأقيم الصلاة.